This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 21st day of November, 2020. I just realized something. Tomorrow's my son's birthday. Oh, wow. I got to get going tomorrow morning and make sure I get him something for his birthday. Well, there you go. This is the voice of the Christian Resistance Movement, and tonight we have a whole lot like we always do. A lot to cover. And so I'm going to get right into it. The title of the message, first of all, I wanted to say, What a wonderful day we had yesterday, service. It was just it was our Thanksgiving Day service, and I'm going to tell you, after the service, what a meal those ladies cooked. They just outdid themselves. It was absolutely tremendous. And we're still old fashioned at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. We let the cooking up to the women, and they kind of like it that way. And so I just asked one time, I said, ladies, if we did it different, if we had the men all cook the dinner here, would you all still eat it? And they weren't too excited about that. So we're just going to leave things be as they are and let those that know what they're doing, keep doing it the way they did. And they certainly did it good. Anyhow, the title of the message was Give Thanks Unto the Lord. And all the years I've been a preacher, I've encouraged people and reminded people that, all of us, from time to time, all of us, when we have bad days, we have really bad days, and we have a tendency to go into a pity party. Well, you got to remember that there are billions, literally billions of people out there in the world today that would change places with us on our worst days. We've been blessed in a lot of different ways, and we're going to get into that as we go through this. But before we do all that, I wanted to stop and, little Lisa, who I'm always teasing, always kidding around, and she loves doing this radio program and just loves being Doers of the Word Church. And she's been a real worker. She's now Lisa's health has never been good. She has COPD, but she astonishes people with how much work she can get done in the ministry with her health. Well, Lisa took a fall. She fell hard and hurt herself pretty good. And so She really don't care about her. She only cares about getting the Lord's work done, getting working for the ministry. And I told her she had to just rest up. And we took her to the emergency room. And for right now, we know she's got a broken elbow and some other major problems. And so we're going to, I'm kind of taking it day by day. And Nurse Connolly was supposed to be there with her tonight. To let us know where it goes from there. But let's pray right now. And I would just ask all of you out there to join me in a prayer for Lisa. Lisa only weighs 88 pounds. If she weighs that much now, she's probably less than that now. And so I would ask that if you would join me and pray for her, because all of us from time to time need prayer. And again, the good Lord's very clear when he says, those that show mercy will receive it. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold up Lisa tonight and ask, Lord, that the people all across this great land of ours, Father God, that they would join me in prayer for Lisa. Lord, that you might touch her, Father God, and bless her in every area where she could receive a blessing. Lord, for once in her life, let her receive a healing. Let her be healed, Lord, that you might take away that COPD. You might heal the broken bones, Father God, and restore her health and take away the pain. She's in a lot of pain right now with all of the situation she had. And so I just would ask that you would do that, dear Lord. Touch her, heal her, restore her. And then turn her desires towards you more and more every day in every way. And that I ask for every single person that's listening to us tonight, that you would do that. Turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way, at all times, in all things. In Christ Jesus, amen. Now, we got another one? Okay. Yeah. All right, we just got another prayer request in. Al in Parma fell and he had a heart attack, and he's on life support. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know if I know this, Al, or not, Lord, but, Lord, thou dost. He knows, you know, Lord, all information, all knowledge, Lord, is within you. And so, again, we want to hold up Al. First of all, I don't know if Al's saved. So that's the first thing. We're going to ask that make sure that he's saved, and Lord God, that's the first thing for his self, for our salvation. And then, Lord, we would ask that you would touch him, Father God, Lord, and that he might have a complete and total healing, Lord. Father God, Lord, we know all you have to do is say the word. And again, we would ask for Al that you would bless him in every area where he might receive a blessing. And I understand that the lady called in would be Sherry, Lord God, that you would bless her too, Father, for calling in. And I would imagine maybe Al's her husband. This we ask, Lord, that you would touch him, heal him, and Lord God, and that you would, again, hedge around about the house, Father God, and be a comfort to them at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to get into the message. The message is give thanks unto the Lord. And we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 13, starting with verse 10. And here we start, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Well, here, the Jewish Christians were being ridiculed and persecuted by the Jews who, well, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, in fact, most of the book of Hebrews here tells them that how Christ is greater than all of their sacrificial system is. Here the writer drives home the point. It's a lengthy argument, and it may be necessary to leave the camp and suffer with Christ. To be outside the camp meant to be unclean, but Jesus suffered humiliation and uncleanness outside the Jerusalem gates on their behalf. And so here, let's go, the time had come for the Jewish Christians to declare their loyalty to Christ above any other loyalty, to choose to follow Messiah, whatever suffering that it might entail. And here we go. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. So the Jewish believers were saying, the author is saying, he's talking about taking the Lord's table, a communion with Christ. For the bodies of those beasts was blood brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, or burned without the camp. He's talking about, look, these bodies, God no longer wants. He didn't, a animal sacrifice, a bloody sacrifice. Christ died. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was it. The blood of Jesus Christ took away the sin of believers, past, present, and future. And so now there was no longer any need to go and offer up these bloody animal sacrifices. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing the reproach, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, here the believers were no longer, the Jewish believers were no longer, could no longer worship within the camp, because they were considered to be unclean. And so they could, again, no longer worship with the other Jews. And so here, again, but here they should, they were blessed in the sense that they didn't have to go to the temple to worship. They could worship the Lord no matter where they were, anywhere, anytime. And it was good that they gathered together to worship, but they could worship anywhere and any time. Because the worship now was no longer a bloody animal sacrifices, but the sacrifice of praise, of worship, of service, and of tithing. And so now, here he goes on to say, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. And so, here, I just want to say that some of the things that we should be thankful for, all of us should be thankful for. And if you're listening to me out there tonight, that means you're alive. And that means you were born alive. That means your mother did not kill you like so many women are doing today, killing their babies out of convenience. I was born at a time in America when the murder of preborn children was still considered a crime, and there was a much, much higher caliber, morally and superior, Supreme Court than the 1973 court. Killing children was repulsive to the vast majority of women of that day. I was born in America when she was still great because she was still good. The home of the free because of the brave. The home of the free because of the brave. And boy, we're going to talk about that today too, some tonight. And because right now we're going to play some clips, Lord's willing, later on. And the problem is the apathy. And of course, you know, you folks have known that how I have for years and years been so very upset, disappointed mainly with the pastors, those in the pulpit in America, with a lack of courage, the lack of courage. And even though I realize the reason for the lack of courage is that, well, the vast majority of those in the pulpits today in America aren't saved. Because if they were saved, there wouldn't be such a lack of boldness and lack of courage. And here, again, the one group of people that by far more than any other to lead the people are the pastors, and they have really, really betrayed God, the country, their assemblies, and each other, themselves, with a lack of courage, a lack of fortitude, of fear. They feared the government more than they did God. And we'll talk about that later on here. But I grew up in the freest, the most prosperous nation that the world had ever known. America was one nation under God, individual with freedom. And at that time, justice for all. Not like it is today. That's not like it is today at all. I'm thankful that I grew up in a two-parent home, which is, well, not all that common nowadays. No, it's not. Divorce is just as high as marriage today. People have no respect for, they have no respect for the very first divine institution that God gave us, and that's the institution of marriage and the family. And today, you know, you just had 13 Republicans go over, flip over, and vote to desecrate more, desecrate that divine institution that God gave us with sodomites, with what they call same-sex marriage. Those Republicans that went over, according to God's word, the Bible, committed whoredom. Those, now listen to you, and you, I know you're going to say, oh, Pastor Uni, you're a mean, mean man. Listen, read your Bible. According to God's word, the Bible, what they did is they went a-whoring, they became whores. They became whores for what they did when it comes to God's word. And it can, you say, well, why don't other pastors preach that way? Well, they would if they had the courage, but they don't. And again, the reason they don't is the vast majority of them in the pulpit today are not saved. And unfortunately, many of them are going to find that out when it's too late. And if you have some out there that disagree with that, I'd be glad to hear from you. And we can discuss that. In fact, we can debate it if you'd like. In fact, for 25 years, I challenged any one of those neo-evangelical preachers to debate me on Romans 13. And that's what it's really all about. And in 25 years, I never got one taker. You see, when you sit down and you open up to God, the Word of God, it's right there, okay? All of your feelings are gone. Here it is. Here's the Word of God. And the Word of God does not stutter. I am thankful that I was able to serve my country when she was great, and the most powerful, and the best trained, and the best equipped military that the world had ever known. It's not that way today, folks. No, they're destroying the military. Austin and Milley, they're doing everything they can to destroy our military. I am thankful for a marriage that has lasted for 54 years. Very few marriages are lasting very long today, but I praise the good Lord that we've had a marriage now, and we were together 5 years before that, so for 59 years we've been together. Very few, Lord. And you know what? It's a matter, you know, the second shortest verse in all the Bible, three words, God hates divorce. God hates divorce. I'm thankful that I was able to send my children and grandchildren to Christian schools, the good one. In fact, right now, my little grandson Jacob is in Agape Christian School, which is a really good Christian school, run by very good, up there in Burton, Ohio, run by very good friends of mine, Russ and Sue Gifford. I'm thankful that we still have time. We still have time to reclaim America for God. If we can only muster the willpower, only muster the will to do it, and the faith. Again, we're going to play a clip. And the clip, Lord's willing, we'll talk about how Bill Gates and the World Economic and the World Health Organization have come together along with, unfortunately, and when do you find out what our so-called Department of Defense is doing? To start their death camps, and they're going to convince the people out there, because the people, they're counting on the pastors not having the courage. The pastors not having the courage to stand up and be men, be bold, and encourage the men to resist the tyranny, to resist the tyranny. They're counting on their ignorance and apathy, and they're counting on the ignorance and apathy of the people, not to, like they did in Nazi Germany, when they said, "Oh well, it's the law. We can't go against the government." That's what they did in Russia too. Remember, and all those millions of people died. And that's what they're counting on. I'm thankful that I'm able to preach the gospel message of salvation from coast to coast. That is the greatest accomplishment of my life, is that I've been able to do that, that I can give that salvation message and preach the gospel like we were doing tonight from coast to coast. I'm thankful to be the pastor of such a church as the one I pastor, Doers of the Word Baptist Church. At one time I was pastoring two of those Doers of the Word, and I praise the good Lord, because I can tell you I won't last long. There was some people from a very large evangelical church come and asked me if I would come and candidate for the pastor, because their pastor was leaving. And I told them, I said, "Well, I would last maybe one service there. You guys are a 501c3 corporation. And I can tell you, when I preach, my message is going to be really too strong. It's going to be much too strong for a neo-evangelical church." And so these guys says, "I know, but you see, don't you understand? We need your message. What's wrong with our church. They're Christian light. They're very Christian light. We need your preaching." And I says, "Yeah, but again, those people where you are attend do not want to hear my preaching. Again, I would last one day. But there are those of us in there that do." And I said, "Okay, if that's the case, here's what you do. Leave there and come here. That's what you need to do." Now, recently, we have had a number of people that have left the neo-evangelical kind of mega churches and have started attending our church because their pastor had told them they shouldn't be involved in politics. And they knew better. They knew they couldn't continue staying there. I have many, many, many more things to be thankful for. But most of all, that God has chosen me before the foundation of the world to spend eternity with Him in glory. Now think about that. What else is there? Is there anything else? Is there anything else that we can be so grateful for? Is there anything else that... Is there anything that could ever, ever possibly mean as much to you as escaping that lake of fire and being in glory with the Lord and His saints forever, folks? You see, remember, the God of creation, the God who created that entire universe out there, the God who was preexistent, that existed before everything and anything, the God in which all knowledge could be found, the God who has absolutely is omnipotent. He is all powerful, omniscient, all knowledgeable, and omnipresent everywhere. That's the God that we serve. And We're going to go to a break, and I think what we need to hear is, well, Blinded by the Lies. Be right back.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Okay, we're back, and alrighty, folks, we're going to play a clip. Now, this, talking about the lies, this is a clip. Now, we did play, actually, probably about 6-8 weeks ago, the clip. This is a former FBI agent, a whistleblower, Mr. Friend, and he is going to tell you a story. We need to continue to bring this out because the FBI, they're really, really now, they're under scrutiny. Now that the Republicans have back control of Congress, and we have to make sure they do it, we've got to clean up the swamp. We've got to clean up the swamp. Our country's in very, very bad shape. Our country is cutting. Country is bleeding. We just had a very, very, very corrupt federal judge, one of Joe Biden's installed prostitutes, and that's what they are. And I know you personally preach, you say, oh, how bad, Pastor Uni. But he just striked down for, Title 42 amid historic illegal immigration opens the human invasion floodgates to the country. Again, I've told you before, we told you before, back a long time ago, over a year ago, how the Biden crime cartel, the Biden family, are the gatekeepers. They are the gatekeepers, and they're making money hand over fist, folks, for keeping the southern border open. They're working hand in hand with the Mexican drug cartels and with the human smugglers. I'm telling you, the entire Democratic Communist Party, the entire leadership is corrupted to the bone, completely and totally corrupt. They're completely and totally corrupt. So go ahead and play that clip.
Bill Gates has become so arrogant in recent times that he is happy for the cameras to catch him saying the quiet parts out loud.
You know, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion. So you, of course,
well,
we're making...
That's an interesting thing you just said, which is just the last 3 months in life for one person or something, because we haven't had a discussion of how to allocate that money, it means we lay off three teachers to do so. I mean, in other words, we
That's
haven't
right.
had
Society's
this type of allocation.
Making, we're
discussion.
Making that trade-off because of huge medical costs that are not examined to see which ones actually have no benefit whatsoever.
Well, wait,
and because of pension.
Last time that I got to visit with you was back in August, August 4th of this year. You were at the Senate Judiciary Committee. You remember that, I assume. We had to cut that hearing short. We were supposed to do two rounds of questions. You said you had to be somewhere, so we cut it short. Republicans were not able to ask a second round as we had been informed we would. The press reported shortly thereafter that the reason that the hearing had to be cut short is because you were flying on a Gulfstream jet for a personal vacation in the Adirondacks. Please tell me that's not accurate.
Senator, the hearing was cut was not cut short. From my experience, we had agreed beforehand on the time and length of it, and I was very surprised to find that any member of the committee was surprised as to how I fly. I am required, not only permitted, but required to fly on an FBI plane wherever I go.
That's so you were going on vacation?
I was, yes.
So you left a statutorily required oversight hearing in order to go on a personal vacation in the Adirondacks?
I took a flight to go visit my family, as had been previously arranged in conjunction with the leadership of the committee.
The ranking member, Chuck Grassley, asked you during the hearing, he said, I assume you must have other business. You said, yes. He then said, if you have a business trip, you've got your own plane, can't it wait a while? He then said, Chuck Grassley, we only just heard half an hour ago that now you have to leave. We were going to have a 7-minute round followed by a 3-minute round. I've got 7 people on my side of the aisle, that included me, who are waiting for this additional round. Is there any reason we can't accommodate them for 21 minutes? And you said you had a plane to catch. You had somewhere to go. And now we find out it was for vacation?
The reference to other business was not a reference to that day. It was a reference to the following week where Senator Grassley and I were going to see each other in Iowa when I had other business in Iowa, and I did, in fact, see him then.
So, wait, you had to leave the hearing early because you're going to see him later in Iowa in a week?
No, I had to leave when I said I was going to have to leave, as had been previously organized with the leadership of the committee.
You left an oversight hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, required by statute, so you could vacation with your family. I find that absolutely unbelievable and, frankly, indefensible. Now, is it your practice to use government planes? You say you do this all the time. You flew in a Gulfstream 550, I think, that was originally purchased for counterterrorism purposes. You were using it to go to, what is it, Saranac Lake? Is that how I say it? I've never been there. Is that the right pronunciation? Saranac Lake? That was your destination?
Yes.
So, did you enjoy the flight? I mean, did you pay for it?
Yes, I paid for it.
Will you turn over all receipts and reimbursement to this committee?
Senator, we will be happy to comply with oversight requests related to the use of the plane, as I said, and it's important for people to understand.
Why don't you just give me a yes? Will you turn over the receipts?
I will turn over the information related to my use of the plane. The use of the plane, I am required, not just permitted, required, even for personal travel, to use the FBI plane.
How convenient for you.
And I pay every single time that I use the plane for personal
use. I'm glad it's available for you to jet away from your statutorily required hearings and oversight before this Congress, where you denied the ability of members of Congress to ask you questions because you had to go on a personal vacation using a government plane. Let's just look at some of the things while you've been vacationing that your FBI has been doing. According to numerous whistleblowers who have come forward to members of this body, to members of the House, the FBI has been sending more than, in one instance, a dozen armed agents to a rural Pennsylvania home of a Catholic pro-life demonstrator to arrest him at gunpoint in front of his children in early morning hours, despite the fact that he posed no risk of violence or threat and had previously offered to turn himself in. Numerous whistleblowers, field agents, have alleged that D.C., your headquarters, has pulled them off working on child sex abuse cases, working on human trafficking cases, in order to work on January 6th matters for this reason, to give the appearance, they say, that there are hundreds of new domestic terrorism cases in the country, when in fact there are not. Whistleblowers, field agents have also said that D.C. has ordered the use of SWAT teams on nonviolent suspects who may have attended a January 6th rally, and they have been ordered to conduct surveillance and knock on doors of people who were not even in D.C. on January 6th. And again, all of this, according to the whistleblowers, these are your agents, all of this in order to make it look as if there's a mass surge in domestic terrorism all across the country, when in fact the stats are being padded by political directive in your office. They also say, these whistleblowers, the D.C. leadership deliberately suppressed investigations into Hunter Biden, contrary to FBI procedure, and have also retaliated against FBI agents and whistleblowers who have contacted Congress, which, by the way, they are protected by statute to do so. This is what's happening at your FBI while you are evading oversight hearings. Mr. Director, do you think you're still up to this job?
I absolutely think I'm still up to this job, and I think our workforce feels the same way.
Well, I don't. And frankly, I think you should have been gone a long time ago. And given your behavior recently, I think it only makes it more clear. Are there any travel plans today that we should be aware of that you have? We're supposed to have a...
I have written you publicly a number of times asking who directed that briefing. Are you prepared to tell me in public who directed that briefing now?
Senator, first off, I can't discuss specific defensive briefings more broadly, and that's a longstanding practice.
So tell me then, why have you refused to meet with us to privately tell us who directed that briefing?
So if I may finish my answer to the question, it's longstanding practice not to discuss specific defensive briefings. We have, as my understanding, responded in writing to a letter that you sent, I think,
it's bureaucratic gobbledygook is what that is.
And
not a response.
We offered in that letter to provide a senior executive of the FBI to walk through in detail our process.
What your process is, but not specifically who directed a briefing that was used to smear me. Have you looked into the leaking of that briefing to the Washington Post? Have you investigated that?
I'm not going to discuss specific investigations. As to the briefing question and who directs it, let me be very clear about this. When it comes to election-related defensive briefings, there is not a single person who makes that decision. That is an interagency process that was set up by the prior administration, signed off on by the former president.
Well, there are
Office of the Director.
There are persons in that interagency, correct? So there would be persons. So we should know who those persons are. Why won't you tell us who directed that briefing? The persons then.
I would refer you to the process that was put in place, and we can give you more information about the process if you would like.
Have you read Senator Grassley's and my report on Hunter Biden's corruption issued in September of 2020 and November of 2020? Have you read those reports?
I have had a chance to look at it.
Do you see any sign of Russian disinformation in those reports?
That would be a hard question for me to answer.
No, it's very easy. Yeah. It's very easy.
What I would say to
it's a very easy answer. There is no Russian disinformation. That report is completely clean of any interference of foreign influence, although we have been falsely accused, including by the chairman of this committee, of spreading Russian disinformation. Are you aware of the FBI having any involvement whatsoever in the October 19, 2020 public statement by 51 former intelligence officials?
I'm not aware of any involvement by the FBI in what you're describing.
The reason I ask is if it's true that in August of 2020, the FBI initiated a scheme to downplay derogatory information on Hunter Biden, it would seem like maybe part of that scheme would be to get intelligence officials to issue a letter that stated that the laptop had all the earmarks of a Russian information operation. That was totally false. We now know that the Hunter laptop is completely authentic. The point I'm trying to make here is the unsolicited briefing that was leaked in May of 2021 was used to smear me and interfered into the U.S. Senate election of November 2022. One of the whistleblowers to my committee has stated that the FBI was no longer going to interfere in elections, something to that effect. I can't find it right now, and I'm running out of time. Oh, here it is. The FBI is, quote, not going to change the outcome of the election again. Well, the FBI certainly tried to by leaking, or somebody leaked that FBI briefing. Are you going to investigate that? Because that is the election interference, and let's face it, this letter by 51 intelligence officials, this interfered in the 2020 election to a far greater extent than anything Russia or China ever could have hoped to accomplish. You have to acknowledge that. It has to be investigated. I have no faith that you will do so.
Senator Hessen, you are recognized for your questions.
All right, we're back. You know, speaking about that, folks, good news. CBS hacks, they finally admit that Hunter Biden's laptop was legitimate, what we've been telling you now for more than 2 years. So for more than 2 years after the Gateway Pundit reported, here they finally admit. Now here's why, because they've been losing credibility. All of your fake news media, they've been losing credibility. Everybody knows it's out there. And it came out in so many different areas. And this radio program, so many more that got hold of the laptop, got and reported on that. So here at CBS, NBC, ABC, CBS, and they all lost more credibility. And so here, evidently they were in a hurry to report this before the GOP starts their investigation of the laptop that CBS News once called a conspiracy. Now, too, they know that this is all going to come out. As soon as the Republicans take over Congress, The Gateway Pundit has been reporting on the filth, the grift, and the criminal actions included on the Hunter Biden laptop for over 2 years now. The nude Hunter Biden recklessly blandishes illegal firearms with a prostitute. A leaked video, and I'm looking at that. It's a picture of him. Well, actually, he's not completely nude, and here he's wearing his underwear. As Joe Biden demands gun control for law-abiding Americans, and he's brandishing a firearm to intimidate a prostitute. Joe Biden insists scandal-plagued Hunter Biden did not cause any conflict for U.S. amidst the video of Hunter and his hookers smoking crack and discussing stolen computers by Russians. Who knows? Maybe CBS will report on this one day, right? Naked and afraid, buck naked and cracked out. Oh, there's another picture. Hunter Biden rides the water slide to his prostitute's delight video. Unbelievable, folks. But again, now the reason that those guys were being, if you think that they were being a little hard on Chris Wray, they weren't. Chris Wray has been lying. He is so corrupted. He's coming down right from the top down. Instructed his guys to, again, remember what they did. They tried to pay. Hillary Clinton bought, and she paid different rogue agents, plus she paid that Steele, that British agent. She bribed him. Christopher Steele was bribed to create a false dossier against President Trump. Then, on top of that, the FBI knew all along it was false. They knew it, they knew it, and they knew it, and they what? And they lied to a judge. And then they went, and the FBI offered an additional $1 million. They tried to bribe Christopher Steele. If he could come up, you know, in fact, if he could create any evidence of Trump collusion with the Russians. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. I think he was probably afraid that he would become a throwaway, which is very common within those agencies. You have these throwaways when they start causing you a problem, and I've seen it more than once. You're gone, or sometimes you find yourself at room temperature. Okay, now I'm going to go into the next big article for today. And that one is this. U.S. Defense Department secretly controls COVID vaccine production process that cannot be traced. Here is an article, and this is what I've been talking about all along right here. Let me just read this. And I think I've got Big John McTernan joining me. Are you there, Big John? Are you there, Big John? Can you hear me?
Yes, I didn't realize that I had myself muted. Can you hear
okay.
me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah. Okay, so anyhow, we just had played a clip with...
Yeah, I heard you.
Okay, so it was... and I was talking about why they were, you know, because it might have seemed to some listeners that they were being a little tough on Chris Wray. They have no idea how much this guy has lied. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because the idea is he's supposed to go and they talk about, well, you're going to be on the hot seat. I'll handle it. And it, because these people are, they are, there's, the FBI is not, it has not been for a while now, a legitimate Federal Bureau of Investigation. It's simply been a strong arm for the Democratic Communist Party. Right now, they have the number 20 and growing whistleblowers that are coming out, and they're blowing the whistle. In fact, that aged friend who, you know, we have a clip of, we were going to play that at the bottom of the hour, but you weren't here. And so, but before we go into that, I wanted to take a look at here. Who was really in charge of this whole COVID vaccine production system, and we'll take a look at that right now, very quickly. Australian physician put droplets of Pfizer vaccine and blood of vaccinated patients under a dark field microscope and filmed bizarre, strange metallic structures that look like circuitry and microchips that seem to be, respond to electromagnetic fields. A recent analysis of documents obtained by Freedom of Information lawsuits revealed COVID vaccine manufacturers such as Pfizer, Moderna, Janssen are only figureheads in the production of experimental injections that are actually produced, fully controlled, and distributed by the U.S. Department of Defense. John, we kind of knew that, didn't we? We knew that they have been so corrupted by Austin and Milley under the Biden regime. Research can go ahead.
It goes before that, and it starts with Obama.
Yeah.
And these labs, they're military labs. They're found all over the world, particularly in the Ukraine. These bio labs are under the U.S. military. Now, what in the world is the military doing with bio labs in Ukraine?
We actually have three of them here in Ohio.
Yeah, and we have one not too far from me in Galveston, Texas.
Well, I can tell you what they're doing. They're making up these different vaccines, and especially for those that hit different types of people in the population. I don't want to say races of people, but they have different ethnic groups. They're designing, these are designer vaccines to kill them off. And so here, this is what our military is in charge of, depopulating America. Research conducted by retired pharmaceutical industry executive Alexandria Latipova discovered that kind of like an iceberg, these biological products are made by a consortium of companies that are traditional and non-traditional suppliers to the Department of Defense. Though the public sees Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen being represented everywhere as the product's manufacturers, in reality, they're involved only somewhat in some pieces of the production process. Latipova told Dr. Peter McCullough in an America Out Loud interview released on November 8th. In addition, possession of the product is never taken by anyone other than the U.S. federal government, she said, resulting in a situation where the methods of production and contents of these products cannot be traced. Furthermore, not only are these biologicals produced in this opaque black box, but they remain the property of the U.S. government until they're injected into the persons, which means any American who obtains the vials in order to study the contents can be prosecuted for stealing government property or the like, and remains a contractual violation for governments outside the U.S. to test these products. DOD, not a licensed pharmacy distributor, and thus do not need to comply with any laws. Additionally, since the organizational structure of the project explicitly names the DOD as the chief operating officer of the entire enterprise, they are not a licensed pharmacy distributor. Latipova said they don't need to comply with any laws that govern that industry. All right, we're coming up to a break. And how much time do we have? All righty, so we're coming up to a break. And when we come back, I'll finish this article. Be right back. Don't go away. A lot to come.
Fight the fight. Take a stand. Fight the lie. We are led. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-SHARE-24. That's 833-SHARE-24. 833-SHARE-24.